Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We can't send you back.
Can't.
Well, Spock here told me that your transporter can beam down an object even from an orbit this high.
It's not the transporter, it's you. You know what the future looks like. If anybody else finds out, they could change the course of it, destroy it.
Well, then my disappearance would change something, too.
I have run a computer check on all historical tapes. They show no record of any relevant contribution by John Christopher.
Look, Captain, I don't buy all of your time accident story. Now, the experts can figure out who you are, what you are. It's my duty to report what I've seen. Well, what would you do?
I'd report. If I could. We can't take the risk.
I don't want to know about risks. I have a wife, two children. What about them?
Oh, I have to push this button if we're going to start the podcast.
Yeah,
are you ready, Jesse?
Yeah.
I haven't pushed the button yet, so it's
well,
not
why haven't you pushed the button yet?
Okay, I'm pushing the button.
Push that button, dog.
I've pushed the button to start the podcast.
Oh,
should we do a funny voice?
It's the Star Trek.
Should I practice some of my funny voices?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second.
Or so, my voices?
Jesse almost got it out there and then like got confused or something.
It just put a little.
Do you want to try that again, Jesse? Was your mouth filled with beans?
It's Got Star Trek.
See, we're giving Jesse the opportunity to say the It's Got Star Trek business.
Oh, is he doing it?
Well, he's taking the initiative. It's not even about us giving him the opportunity.
No.
It's about Jesse taking the initiative.
Usurping it.
Yes, except then he fouled it up.
Yes.
He stumbled over his own.
So what are we doing?
We're doing the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Okay.
Welcome aboard the Enterprise.
I was like, did you forget the podcast part? Or, I mean, they probably know it's a podcast.
Star Trek.
They're listening to
Obviously,
it.
Obviously, it's a podcast.
They're probably listening to it through a
podcast. Welcome aboard the Enterprise.
What else could it be?
All right. Oh, yes, Dan, funny voices. Did you want to?
Do you have a new funny voice?
Is this entertaining to people? If we're like, I'm gonna get close.
Good voice.
Hi there.
This is this voice.
We're not wasting anybody's time at all.
Hey, this is this guy's voice.
This is my
voice.
Voice.
Hey, I'm in here now. Hey,
and
where
are you?
Wait, here's this voice.
Oh, you hate this?
Stop!
Don't, you?
Don't do that shit. I'm serious,
well, I thought
man.
The voice was coming from that
Why?
Side. I thought your character was being like, hey, guys, watch out.
I'm over
here.
This channel.
Walk out if you keep fucking with the balance or whatever.
I'm over
is it the
here.
Fade
He's
or
gonna
the balance?
Walk out,
it's
dude.
The balance.
He's going to walk out of the podcast. Yeah.
All right. So funny. Are you done with the funny voices? Or
I haven't even started.
He hasn't even begun, sir.
Okay.
Right. Well, then there's the one that's like, there's like this guy who's like,
I'm gonna go get my computer. I'm gonna get my computer and I'm gonna figure it out.
Linux.
I have Linux installed on my machine.
I'm gonna use my Linux box.
And then I'm gonna go and I'm gonna write a script in Python using Notepad++.
Yeah.
There's that voice.
Yeah, it's good, and part of the humor in that voice
hey,
is
Jesse.
That incumbent in doing that character is an understanding, an inherent lived experience of that.
Is this art
Linux character.
Art imitating life?
Yes.
My life?
Yeah.
Well, then remember this voice that never caught on? Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Dan.
I love you. So what the audience at home doesn't understand is Dan keeps saying, hey, Jesse, and then getting aggravated when Jesse responds because Dan has a plan. Dan has some sort of sinister plan.
Well, you want me to do a voice? I'm doing a voice.
Sinister plan.
But Jesse keeps interrupting it. By perfect, it's a perfectly reasonable thing for Jesse to assume that he would respond when Dan
says,
"Hey, Jesse."
If we want to both do voices, that's one thing. But I thought I was doing a voice.
Oh, just you? You get to do a voice.
Well,
and I don't.
No,
get to
but
do
that's
a
just what we agreed upon. If we want to agree on both of us doing voices, that's fine.
I thought that was the natural response.
No, because Patrick said, "Dan, do you want to do some voices?" He said it to me. If Patrick was like, "Hey, Dan and Jesse, do some voices," I would have been like, "Yeah, that'd be great."
But I would have done the same.
He said, "Dan, do some voices." So I just want to know what I'm running. I'm getting myself into. That's all. That's all I'm saying. All
right. I think I'm.
And
I,
so
another, he's a literalist.
Another classic Patrick hosting error.
Hey Jesse.
Oh, no.
Hey Dan.
Hey Jesse. What are you doing? Hey Jesse. What are you doing?
No, just he's scared to respond.
Hey Jesse.
I'm
Hey Jesse, what are you doing?
He doesn't.
Are you going to be writing on Notepad?
What's
plus
the right
plus?
Answer?
Notepad.
Do these sound
plus,
like
plus.
If you're watching a cartoon? Do these sound like two characters talking to each other?
Hey Jesse, what are you doing? I'm gonna go get Notepad plus plus.
It's got to have that extra plus.
Why are you doing that?
Because I'm using my Linux machine.
Oh, no. My Linux box.
It's back to the Linux guy.
My Linux box.
Okay.
Does that sound like two cartoon characters talking to each other?
Yes
it does.
Everyone out there who needs some voiceover work, I'm right here
you got
for
it,
you.
Dude.
I'm right
Dan's
here
ready
for
to
you.
Go.
I'm ready for some voiceover work.
Okay, great. Now
give this man a job.
Give me a job. It's a voiceover work.
That
Holy
audition.
Shit.
That audition has now concluded, and now we're going to
thank go. You,
Wait,
sir.
Concluded according to who?
But to me,
to the judges.
It's my job to get
no,
us to
it's
talk
not.
About
He's
Star
the
Trek.
No, it's
moderator.
Not. It's yes. You don't control me, man.
Clearly,
he clearly does.
Clearly,
so.
That is no. It's true that I do not.
You don't.
No.
What I aim for is some small amount of guidance. A
little bit.
It's sort of like you know, I'm not a dam on a river. But I might be able to kind of shift a bank here or there.
A little bit of.
I am going to lock you up for 200 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can. I know when to go on too, but right. I wasn't ready to go on yet.
Okay. Right.
Now I'm ready.
Are you ready now?
I don't know.
I try.
If it'll make Patrick cry less, then yes, I'll do it.
You could be like kind of ready and just sort of warm up. I finished eating my skinny pop.
Good. All right. So that gave
That's
Jesse,
right.
That gave Jesse an opportunity to finish eating his crunchy popcorn. So,
I am aware of that, Doctor.
Okay. It's got Star Trek podcast. That's this week. We are discussing, at long last, we are discussing Star Trek TOS. Tomorrow is yesterday.
I can't deny the fact that you are here.
Indeed. We are all here again. Because longtime listeners, or at least people who listened the last couple weeks,
oh no,
will know that last week we had some technical difficulties.
It was a tragedy.
Yes, we tried to get together to discuss this episode.
That's right.
Tomorrow is yesterday, but we had some technical difficulties that were entirely my fault.
It's very difficult to explain.
Hopefully, have been resolved this week. We'll see. But in lieu of that, we instead provided our audience free of charge with a couple of episodes. A couple of our favorite episodes, I should say, from behind our Patreon paywall.
Crude methods, but effective.
Patreon paywall.
Indeed.
I like the AI song, AI music podcast. I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites.
No? Okay, maybe it's not one of Dan's favorites.
Just not your favorite.
To clarify, because you might not know, you might have skipped it. You might have seen it in your feed and been like, what the fuck is
maybe,
this?
You might
have seen it in your feed and you're like, I'm already full.
Yeah.
So you didn't need your feed.
Yeah.
I need the feed. I'm logical, already full.
The two episodes are, one episode is episode one of Jesse's Questions.
Which I really like that one. I think that might be one of my favorites.
Right on.
So that's something we've done a couple times. We hope to do again soon on the Patreon.
And I have a
Jesse asks Dan and I questions.
Question.
And I have a song for that, but like I don't think I actually performed the song on that podcast.
Was it on the second episode?
I believe it was later.
Of Jesse's Question, because we did episode two of Jesse's Questions.
Maybe I didn't write the song till the next one.
I think that was on episode two of Jesse's. Right. So there you go. There you go. There was an enticement.
Yeah.
Episode two of Jesse's Questions, and then the second Patreon episode that we included in that single episode last week was AI Music Madness, where we on the fly had the AI create some songs about Star Trek. And it was horrifying and fascinating. And there was also some songs we did about us. So definitely check that out.
About Dan.
And
from the morning to the
I didn't hear anything.
Well, we have a voicemail from longtime listener Jesse.
Which Jesse is
this,
it?
It's not you, Jesse.
No, I know it's not me.
Well,
I
mean,
there's so many other ones.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't put it past you to submit a voicemail and then forget that you submitted a voicemail. You will enjoy this, I think. Here we go.
Hello to the gentlemen of It's Got Star Trek. This is your old acquaintance, Jesse, from Open Pike Night. And I have a question specifically for Dan this week.
Oh.
So, Dan, longtime listeners of It's Got Star Trek will know that you have a very particular system when it comes to selecting, labeling, organizing your sound files that you use to our great delight throughout each episode.
Delight.
So I'm wondering, is there a similar system that you use in the labeling of the jars containing the farts in your collection? Is it color-coded? Is it tied to the source of the fart? Is it more of like an emotional thing, like here's what I felt when I smelt it? Or is it, you know, kind of a more atmospheric thing, like I remember it was summer, it was 1998.
This is very detailed.
I feel like knowing that you put such work into your system for the sounds, there has to be a system for the farts. And we, as listeners, I know we would love to know what that is. So please elaborate, and thank you so much. And you guys, let me just say right here, I will always love It's Got Star Trek. Thank you for putting out such a great show week to week without failure, even if you don't have a show to put out. That's very admirable, and it's something that we as listeners and fans really appreciate. Smell you later, gentlemen.
All right.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
Yeah. So thank you, Jesse.
We should get that guy back on the show.
Yeah, he joined us on the show before. I've been on Open Pike Night. Jesse's fantastic. And first of all, thank you, of course, Jesse. We appreciate that. And just to clarify for the other listeners, he's talking about one of the AI songs that, for me, maybe not for Dan, for me, is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Absolutely.
What I do generally is I organize it first, sort it by mass, then viscosity.
This is your fart?
Yes.
Oh, gross.
I'll organize it by mass, then by viscosity, and then how close the smell is to the current season we are in during the year.
Wait.
Now. So right now I'd want more of a spring-like fart, but that's organized, but that's after mass and viscosity.
Song go from, it's like from the morning.
Dan smells his farts from the morning to the dark.
So
it's so fucking great. Please, audience, I don't care who the fuck you are. Please go listen to last week's episode for nothing else than the Dan fart.
So it's a really great too.
So like I said, first it's by mass and viscosity. Then it's by smell, proximity to the current season.
I'm upset. Really? I'm upset by a number of things here, and folks, I know we need to get to the Star Trek discussion. Don't worry, we will. What I'm upset about is your application of the terms mass and viscosity to farts. Both of those, for different reasons, are upsetting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to have some system.
I'm confused because when you say how closely the fart smells to the current season, I'm concerned.
Are you talking about the season of the year?
Yeah, I was like, do you mean the actual like smells of going outside, or do you mean other farts that take place in this season?
Because it's like mulch season where people are mulching and everything smells like mulch.
Like, do your farts smell differently in different times of the year?
Well, I mean, you know how deodorizers have like summer breeze and things like that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right.
Know what I mean, Vern?
But then, like during November, November it has a real like turkey gravy sort of smell.
Really?
Thanksgiving,
really a turkey gravy.
Yeah, and then
November has a rotting leaves sort of smell.
And around like what is it? When's Easter? April? I always forget.
Yeah. We just had
April
it.
Or March.
Well, that's like when you have.
He is risen.
Have you ever had
April is a is a movable feast.
Have you ever had too much sugar and then like pooped and it like and it smelled like almost sour, like there's something off about it. Something wrong
There's something fucking off about you, dude. There's something wrong with you.
When you eat too much sugar, anyways, I don't poop. I'm just saying if I were to poop.
Yeah.
You don't poop?
No.
I get it.
No.
That's not what I'm
All right, everyone.
Chicken soup.
I know we're trying your patience here, but
let's get on with it.
Don't touch anything, but I think you'll find it interesting.
Give us a break. We had technical difficulties last week. We're coming back after a long... We got to get back into the groove here.
Yeah.
We do have one other voicemail from Fraser, and this is in reference to our previous episode that we actually accomplished recording, Enterprise Episode Rajin.
Sweet.
Fuck yeah.
Hey guys, it's Fraser here. Love the pod. You guys are smart, educated men, right. And you make that known with your erudite quips and references and whatnot. So I was a little surprised when you fucking bastards said that there was only 6 million people killed in the Holocaust. There was, by some estimates, 17 million. You forgot the the Russians, the Belarusians, the Poles, the Ukrainians, the mentally and physically disabled, Soviet prisoners of war, Roman Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, Spanish Republicans, Freemasons, people of color, and other minorities like leftists, communists, trade unionists, social democrats, socialists, anarchists, and other dissidents. They all vent into the ovens.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
That's a fair point, but I don't remember what the hell he's
talking about. I want to be clear and say that I never made any assertion either way. So I'm totally out of
I thought he was about to say, I want to be clear that I don't believe in the Holocaust.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
No, I definitely was not going in that direction.
I will explain the context because thank you, Fraser. It is a very good point.
Yes, indeed.
The context was in Rajin, which is the fourth episode of the third season of Star Trek Enterprise. We were providing some context, and in that season of Star Trek Enterprise, there is a quote-unquote terrorist attack on Earth resulting in the deaths of 7 million people. Mm-hmm. And we were discussing briefly, offhandedly, the possibility that they chose that number because psychologically it is one more than the Holocaust. Right. You know, it's like these go to 11 because the standard, and I agree with Fraser, incomplete and undercounted number of people who were killed in the course of the Holocaust is much higher.
He's including like some Soviet stuff too, which is a good point.
Well, and you can debate.
I don't know, Patrick. It sounds like you're walking back on your what you said, or like
I still think that's why they picked the number 7 million. Okay. I really do. I think it's because in the year 2003, the colloquial understanding was there were 6 million Jewish people who were killed.
I made an error in my computations.
And there's that conflating the deaths in the Holocaust to, you know, very narrow categories. I think people probably would expand that number significantly. But for the purpose that I was arguing,
blast your theories and observations.
Yeah, and by the way. One of my favorite lines in Star Trek, because it's so unnecessarily awesome.
Yeah.
Play that again.
Blast your theories and observations.
Because he slaps it. He's like, blast your theories and observations.
And anyway. all Spock said was like, poor photography. But Spock was like talking shit about some airplane photography.
He was.
But anyway. Yeah.
But thank you, Fraser. Very good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll have more discussion of the Holocaust. If you want to talk about Hutus and Tutsis.
Oh, shit.
If you want to talk about the Rohingya, just email us at feedback@StarTrek.com. Any sort of genocide, we can debate.
Cherokee,
we can debate how
difficult to explain.
We can debate the relative badness of various genocides on It's Got Genocide. That'll be one of our
It's Got Genocide.
Poor choice of words on my part.
Okay, that does it for most of the front matter of the show.
Don't try to be funny.
All right, well, that has been It's Got Star Trek. Good night.
Good night.
We'll see you next week.
If you're going to get nasty, I'm going to leave.
Nah, I'm just joking.
Yeah, he's just a joking.
I'm just joking. All right.
That was a chokey joke.
All right, all right.
That was a chokey joke. He didn't mean nothing by it.
I'm excited to talk about this episode.
Did you mean nothing by it?
Nothing at all.
Believe me, Colonel, nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Stupid sexy Flanders.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even
nothing at all.
I did not notice that.
That's really great.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
I'm so delighted because I didn't notice that. What I did notice is that Shatner was particularly hot and sexy.
Oh, he was.
Throughout this entire episode, he was all coy.
Yeah, he was. He was giving a lot of coy smiles, like here and there.
Even when he was like prisoner, he was like, yeah.
Well, it kind of made him seem like a villain at first, because when the perspective of this episode.
Oh, he's a villain.
He's all in shadow.
We're used to seeing it from the perspective of the protagonist ends up on some alien ship, and the aliens or whatever, or the enemies tell you, oh, we can't send you back. It's too dangerous to send you back. So the whole thing is like, oh no, I'm like a prisoner on this ship. And it's like, We're usually coming from that perspective, but that was Christopher's perspective. Christopher was the prisoner on their ship. Right. So when Kirk kept smiling at him and being all coy at the beginning, being like, don't worry, you'll be just fine, you know? Yeah. He's like, I'm sorry, we can't let you. It made Kirk almost seem like a villain because we had like the other side of that situation. Because it's like pretty, it's pretty aggressive. Like, you know, I mean, I know they didn't want to change the past or anything, but it's still kind of like, it doesn't change the fact that they were going to keep that guy captive on their ship from then on out. That's something villains do.
Look, I was thinking...
I don't know about that.
I was thinking of discussing this later, but you've brought it up, so why don't we just discuss it now, which
why
is...
Why not?
It's such an interesting idea, like you said, to have it reversed in that we're trained to root for Kirk and the Enterprise, and we know they're, quote-unquote, the good guys. But from Captain Christopher's perspective, he has been kidnapped, essentially attacked, and then told he can't go home to his family.
Right, exactly.
And
as an insult to injury, Spock's like, oh, he did nothing of
relevance. Yeah, I know, he did absolutely nothing of note. But the thing is, watching the episode for the second time, I think I didn't notice as much the first time.
I guess you didn't know.
Captain Christopher is a naval officer in the United States.
Air Force.
Where do you think they got that? Where do you think they got that stock footage from the planes from the
Desilu Studio bank?
It was funny because you had all these like stock footage shots of planes and shit, and then it shows the Enterprise kind of appearing all wobbly. Yeah. It kind of appeared and the title credits came up, and then it kind of came out of the clouds or something. But it was like the Enterprise.
But Captain Christopher's his loyalties are presumably to his time, to his country, to his military command. Mm-hmm. And he makes it clear throughout the episode that that's his obligation. He feels that's his obligation to report whatever he sees, right? And we think of Kirk and Starfleet as being the good guys, like I said.
Right. But they're the ones that have a mission.
But he's like, I don't know who the fuck you are. You're from the future and whatever. And I don't know. Philosophically, it's kind of an interesting idea. What, if any, moral obligations you would have to a future that you don't know about, right? He has no evidence to know that these are good people other than that they treat him kind of well other than kidnapping him.
Evidence!
Yeah, okay.
Couldn't find it.
They totally just kidnapped him. It's more like, you know, it's from the 60s, so it's more like, listen, these are some hard truths you have to deal with. Like, they're not going to sugarcoat it. Like, you know, Captain Kirk was just like, listen, I'm sorry, this is the deal. Like, you can't go back.
When they took him back at the very end, like, he's remembered everything, right? Like,
I don't think so.
They went back in time, like, just... They put him back just before he even sees it.
And then they
don't see it. And he doesn't see it because they're not there anymore.
And see, okay, this is what I have a problem with these time traveling things.
It doesn't make any sense.
The perspectives don't make sense. For example, the clock is going backwards. Why is the clock going backwards, but Captain Kirk's not like going backwards, you know?
Right. What is this slingshot around the sun?
Kirk and crew can go back in time and be fine, but when he
gotta get back in time.
But when Christopher goes back in time, he suddenly like zips back. That's why I was thinking, like, maybe he does remember. But to me, it felt like they were trying to imply that, like, no, the act of going back in time will put... But they did have to zap him in at they did have to zap him in at a specific moment, though.
I think even the deal, if he remembers, like, there isn't any evidence in the visual record.
Evidence!
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Well, there's
like
no evidence on
the aircraft's recording devices do not pick up.
Right. The aircraft's they don't pick it up. Yeah. But like I think I'm with Patrick in that like they're sort of implied that even though they had to zap him in at a specific time, somehow the implication was that he wasn't going to remember it because he went before, which doesn't make any fucking
sense.
There's
a few layers here. Layer number one. This is the first Star Trek time travel episode.
Yeah.
Is this the first episode with food replicators?
It may be, and those are clearly replicators because I know there's often been that debate that, TOS didn't have replicators. I remember when Discovery came out, people were pissed off that Discovery had replicators because they were like, TOS didn't have replicators, it had food dispensers. This was a fucking replicator.
Yeah,
that chicken soup came out immediately. That was not like piped from some kitchen somewhere.
This is funny. It was like, how about some chicken soup?
But layer number one, this is the first Star Trek time travel episode, which is interesting in and of itself, but I think it also explains why there are some confusing shortcuts they took. And the second layer is there's the standard sci-fi storytelling stuff where it's like slingshot us around the sun. Okay, whatever. This is for storytelling. We don't need to believe it. It's
a real side point on that, like, Yeah, that logic doesn't fly, obviously. I know we don't need to believe it, but it's like...
It's fine.
It can bring you slower, but the whole point is you can't suddenly go the other direction in time. That doesn't make any sense.
But
from I know it's not supposed to...
Oh, we gotta slow down now. Put the brakes on.
I mean, I know it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is I'm cool with that. I'm cool with the clocks going backwards.
You
even
also
though,
can't travel like faster than speed.
Look, you're right. It doesn't make sense. But from a storytelling perspective, I get it. They're doing it. They're doing the slingshot thing to provide some explanation for how they got back in time because they want to tell this story about going back in time. That's the point
Which
of the story.
Which do you think is more believable, them doing this to go back in time or Superman making the world spin around backwards?
I think this is better.
This Superman, is more realistic?
Superman making the world go backwards sounds like a fucking catastrophe.
Yeah, it does.
Like, that guy was trouble,
Earth
man.
Would be ruined. But in this case, it's like,
it was an
okay,
accident.
They've given us... a mechanism for traveling back in time.
It's just a joke, Captain.
It's no different than like in Back to the Future, they have the flux capacitor and all they say is that's what makes time travel possible. Mm. You need an excuse to tell the fun time travel story, to do the things. Right.
The difference between that and the flux capacitor, though, is the flux capacitor was almost like a wink. It was because like, that's just what makes it happen. But here they attempt to explain a reason for it happening.
Yeah, but this is one of the first time travel stories, like ever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I think it doesn't affect my enjoyment of the episode. I know it doesn't matter, but the point is, it's just kind of like, how do people come up with this
shit? My frustration is in part because I have a larger point that I'm desperately trying to get to.
Remember when Sisko in the Arvin and Bashir, like Sisko was gonna make all the volcanoes.
The singer?
No, the when Sisko played the evil world taking over guy. Remember he was gonna like make all the volcanoes explode by like draining all the water or something. I don't know.
And how does this connect?
Well, it's because like, do you think that was realistic?
Okay,
this is the first episode credited to DC Von Taylor.
Let me finish my point because my point requires.
It's very difficult to explain.
This is one clause of the point is saying that I'm okay with the slingshot for storytelling purposes. I'm okay with the clocks going backwards because, again, yes, if you think about it, it's silly, but it has a storytelling purpose. It's a quick and easy way to indicate to the audience.
Yeah, okay, of course.
So that's point.
Of course.
Part one of my point.
Yeah, but of course.
And I need to say that because now I'm going to have part two of my point, is the ending.
Anyway, we do it. It means a mighty rough ride.
I don't forgive because it doesn't make any fucking sense. And I don't mean like it doesn't make sense in the same way as the clock's moving backwards. I'm saying internally it was confusing. It was like, okay, we're going to beam you back, but like you already are there. So are we beaming your soul back?
Right.
Like what the fuck is being beamed back
at
and we're doing it exactly the right time. Like
the
really?
Security guard did the same thing.
And you don't remember or you do remember, like it seems like he doesn't remember from the way he's acting. And this way the security guard is acting, they both are acting like they didn't just get beamed, their souls beamed into their previous body and suddenly remember. So it's also one of Star Trek's maybe first reset buttons in that sense.
Yes.
Logically, it could work.
I like this episode. Spoiler alert. I really enjoy this episode.
That's not a spoiler.
But
no, it's a good one.
But the ending was problematic. Now, what's less problematic is that we have to go to break.
Time to take a break.
No, we don't. It's only 27 minutes in.
I've finished my point, so that's awesome. And then we can go to break. Dan doesn't look too happy about that. But we're going to do it. We're going to go to break.
I just don't like this. This totalitarian control over what happens with this podcast.
Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we will continue our discussion of Tomorrow is Yesterday. Be right back.
Approaching breakaway point.
Right now
on
is 3 weeks from now.
10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 7, 9.
And we're back.
What's going on here? Where am I?
Rubber band.
What happened?
Oh,
I popped in out of thin air.
I was like, what's going to happen next?
We are not dummies, mister.
We're not dummies, mister. Hey there, exciting. Mister. All right, we're back from the break.
We were talking about Coy Kirk smiles. I just wanted to mention also...
Coy Kirk.
Well, later when Kirk and Fellini, that dude who like did that smooth toss, that was really smooth when he tossed that thing and he liked that other guy. I can't remember what he even tossed. It was like a communicator?
It was a phaser, I think. It was like one of those little phasers.
But he's like, Kirk... But Kirk goes, no, it's just me. Besides, could anyone get out of here without your seeing him? Seeing him? And Fellini's like, no. Nobody should have been able to. And then they played silly music. Yeah. And Kirk was like...
and a couple times... Kirk just looks straight at the camera.
Yeah, he does.
It's like, boop, 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 boop.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, a lot of cute, sexy Kirk stuff this episode.
Oh, what's the deal with, like, the sexy computer voice?
Oh, yeah, because they got their...
Is it still the same?
Record ship arrival.
It's Major Barrett.
It's still Major Barrett.
Still Major Barrett, right? And I totally forgot about this.
So that's the B plot, is the whole belligerent, like, computer. Like, that's actually
seductive,
like...
Seductive computer.
But belligerently seductive. Because, yes.
Aggressively.
Because, like this one.
Record ship arrival, dear.
She
keeps saying dear.
She adds it in at the end, like after Kirk is like, no more of that shit, and she like keeps doing it.
And
computed and recorded, dear.
And do you remember why the computer is now talking like
that? Yeah, because they went to some planet and they went to fix them and they inserted all this weird AI into it.
Similar to when TNG when the Enterprise was getting upgraded by the Binars.
The Binars.
And the Binars made Minuet in the holodeck for Riker to fall in love with. In this case, though, they made the computer have a quote-unquote more personality, but because this is the 1960s, it has Spock just being hilariously misogynistic because he's like talking about this all-female engineering thing, which sounds progressive. That's 1960s version of progressive, which is, we are going to state that there is an alien culture that has an all-female engineering crew.
Because who has that?
But then we're going to undercut it by saying that, A, they made the Enterprise computer get all horny. And B, oh man, I wish I had that. Now, I know this.
Computed.
Like there?
Yes.
Computed.
Yes, exactly.
Computed.
So.
Computed.
So, yes. So, horny computer.
Set them on heavy stun force.
That's point number one. But then point number two is that Spock is all like, they made the personality female, of course.
Yeah.
Do you have that line of Spock saying female, of course?
No, I don't have a line. I actually don't. I don't know what Spock lines I have. Apparently, I have a bunch.
Spock lines.
I just have most of lines of him saying, like, I have this one, like I just played.
Set them on heavy stun force.
Actually, I found this makes a really good beat.
Set them on heavy stun force. 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 Set them on heavy stun force.
It's like off by one beat.
It's not. It's like, you know.
Set them on heavy stun force. Set them on heavy stun force.
Let me try again.
Set them on heavy stun force. 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 Set them on heavy stun force.
It's like
odd. It's like this. It's like, set them on heavy stun.
All right. Lay it in there.
Set them on heavy stun force.
It's hard to get timed right.
Set them on heavy stun force. Set them on heavy stun force.
It's a different beat.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Set them on heavy stun force. Set them on heavy stun force.
I made an error in my computations.
It's like,
set them on heavy stun force. Set them on heavy stun force.
Set them on heavy stun force. Set them on heavy stun force. Set them on heavy stun force.
I'm coming around on a.
Don't touch it. Don't touch anything. 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 Don't touch anything.
That I'm digging. The other one, I'm not saying I've come around a little bit, but it's still it's an obscure, slightly obtuse beat.
No, I don't think so. Because listen to this.
It's an odd meter.
Listen to this.
It's an odd meter.
Just go.
Yeah. No, I dig it.
That's an odd meter. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not suggesting it does not have artistic merit.
I differ with.
I think it's a little bit odd. I think it's a little bit askew.
I don't know. I mean, no. I don't take insult by you saying that. I don't feel insecure about you saying that. But I just. I
mean, that is how I intended.
I'm just
fooling.
I disagree with you. Amiably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amiably.
Amiably.
Friendly like.
Amiably.
You amiably disagree for the purpose of an amicable.
Amicable.
Amicable disagreement.
Amicable.
That's confusing.
You
want to
have an amicable disagreement.
Amicable.
Don't give me any double talk.
Double talk. I'll give you some double talk. They call the...
They call it a mine.
And they call this a black star.
But that basically would be the only B plot you could even think of.
Yes, the computer. Oh, yeah, the sexy computer. Forget about the black star for a second. Sexy computer, misogynistic statements surrounding it. But
did they have talking computers at all before that?
Yeah, the computer talked before, but it talked more robotically. Yeah.
So that's the introduction.
Processing.
Yeah, right. That's right. So this is...
Processing.
So people must have dug it so much that they just kept with it into TNG.
Can you dig it? Processing.
I wonder if that was around...
Is this the first Majel Barrett as the computer?
No, she was... I think the whole series, pretty much. Okay. I forget exactly, but...
I was going to say, I'm wondering what about, like, if that was... This was the introduction, sort of like, they did that, and they were like, huh, I kind of dug that, and so they kept her going on with it into TNG.
I don't believe so. I think this was a fun little extra thing that they...
But it was a fun extra thing, but then afterwards, they were like, you know what, that was kind of cool. They look back on it.
I mean, good theory, although I'm... fairly confident that Majel Barrett was the voice of the computer prior to this episode. However,
she was the one going, computing! Computing!
Yes, I believe so, yes. Computer.
If you're going to get nasty, I'm going to leave.
Please feel free to write in at feedback@iscottstartrek.com with the subject line, setting you straight. Is that what it is?
Blast your theories and observations.
The segment is called Set Us Straight, but when you write us, you have to tell us that you are setting us straight at feedback@discussstartrek.com.
Over my dead body.
All right, we talked about sexy Kirk, we talked about sexy computer, now we have to talk about sexy science.
I don't know how I felt about Spock, like, when Uhura fell and Spock, like heaved her up. It was really, something about that was really weird to me.
Pretty intense.
It was really intense, like, he just, like, lifted her up, and she was all like, you know, he, like, lifted her up like she was, like a baby or something.
Starfleet.
Yeah, all right, I agree, it was weird, very weird. No, I'm acting a little awkward because I was just about to talk about this black star business.
Me too.
The sexy science bit. I really like that they have this reference to what we now would call a black hole, but they refer to it as a black star, which is the thing that caused them to fling into the past in the first place. They didn't see it, so they got caught in its gravity well, spun around, got flung back in time.
Slingshot.
And hence the plot of the episode. But they referred to it as a black star.
Yeah.
And that's because the term black hole hadn't been popularized yet. The term black hole was actually popularized the year this episode was aired, but afterwards. This episode aired in February, and the term black hole is generally attributed, in terms of becoming popularized, to astrophysicist John Wheeler
in
1967.
Word.
But he didn't coin the phrase. The phrase seems to have been coined by somebody at some sort of conference. Anne Ewing was reporting on it for Science Newsletter. I think this was 1964, used the term black hole. But it wasn't like a commonly known term until around 1967, 68. Mm. So I thought that was a really fun example and a weird example of how Star Trek is so old that it has terms that are, we never hear the term black star, right? We're so familiar with the term black hole.
Black star.
The other thing I liked in the science corner was that they accurately predicted the timing of the lunar landing. Apollo 11 lunar landing was in 1969, end of 1969.
And they talked about
by the end of 1969, man landed on the moon.
And he said, they were talking about how Christopher's son was going to put a probe onto Saturn. And
have a probe in Uranus.
So that means that would probably have happened around between 2000-2040, I would guess, that the probe would be put onto Saturn.
It could have been as soon as
1985, but it was probably more like 2000.
It would have happened before they put a probe around Uranus.
Yes, we've done that joke.
With the Uranus joke?
I was just recapping.
Oh, thanks.
Have we done any Myanus jokes?
Myanus.
But I'm get it? Uranus.
Myanus. There's nothing in Myanus. Mm-hmm.
This is one of those times where Dan's like, I'm not into the poop humor.
I don't like that. To be funny. I don't like that kind of joke.
I'm not into poop and fart butthole
humor.
That's
not what I laugh about.
You seem to think this is some kind of a game.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good estimate somewhere. Because if the child is born in, say, 1970...
If a child is born in the manger, we will worship him forever. If a child is born unto your heart, you will win a big...
fart.
Fart. Kind of fell apart at the end there.
Very nicely done, sir.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, that was the primary things in Science Corner.
It's a hidden gem, this fellow.
Look, it's the actual time travel mechanism, a little silly. But it's cool that they're talking about these concepts, introducing them to a wider audience. It's one of the fun parts of Star Trek.
Isn't it similar to, like, they in the second season, they went back for the Gary 7 episode. They went back to the 60s.
Yeah, well, it's the convenience episodes, and the convenience, like, time travel episodes. Isn't
it a similar kind of sound?
Yeah, when you can film it on the back lot.
Jesse, you're making a lot of sound effects. I'm sorry. He's doing a lot of pops and poops and
stuff. I'm trying to cover up, like, I keep like garbling my words.
Okay.
And, like, I'm trying to cover them up with
I was just
sound
making
effects.
An observation.
It's an awkward defense mechanism that you're worried about some developing some sort of aphasia and you're like,
yeah. I'm almost 50 years old.
I know.
We can't take the risk.
I know how I'll cover it up. I'll start acting like a goofy ass motherfucker.
Don't be a fool.
No, science is fun.
Science is real.
But the time travel episodes where you can go back and just walk around outside where you're filming, TNG did it, DS9. Everyone likes those episodes where it's like, they happen to go, like Star Trek 4. It's in 1986, exactly. And they go back to 1986. And isn't that convenient?
Double dumbass on you.
For the costuming budget, right? And for the special effects budget.
And there was probably already a bunch of people with a Save the Whales bumper sticker, like, just driving around anyway.
Yeah,
so
that was,
like,
whale time.
They didn't have to. And
in this episode, you mentioned the stock footage already. It was kind of extra funny because the stock footage was like 8mm and 16mm proper stock footage from the 60s.
Yeah.
But everything else was made HD, like was shot like 32mm.
That's what I was saying. It was funny when we saw shots of these planes on the runway and flying, but then it like switches to the Enterprise all like wobbling around in the sky.
Well, I'm talking about switching to the on the set of the Enterprise, where it's super high definition, beautifully filmed, beautifully lit, well manicured nails on Kirk and all that other stuff.
I never noticed.
And you can see, well, it's because of the HD, so you can see every pore. But then the stock footage is like super grainy.
Find every face pore. Eat every blackhead.
Yes, you're very cute.
Patrick said that because he doesn't think I'm cute.
No, I think you're very cute.
He knows you're cute.
The Kirk meme face is in this episode. You know that one, there's that gif where Kirk like turns around and looks at the camera all like, what the fuck? It's after Spock tells him that we've traveled back in time.
Traveled back in time.
Yeah, that's
ding, ding, back ding, in time. Why, when they beamed Christopher in, he was facing the other way.
Yeah, okay.
That was weird.
And then when they beamed the other guy in, he was facing the other way.
Yeah.
This is beam people in facing backwards. And I think on Roger,
from the
20th wasn't it in
century.
That, and which, there was some episode recently, I can't remember if it was Enterprise or what, something we covered on one of the other shows, also had somebody beam in backwards. It was Vedic Barayal. It was Mirror Barayal.
Oh, he was
Mirror
like kneeling Barayal, or something. Bitch.
Yeah, he was kneeling and sort of backwards. And he kind of turned around and was like, oh, it's me, it's Mirror Barayal.
Right. Also, it was kind of weird that there was that whole debacle with like beaming in the wrong people, because I guess the deal is the sergeant guy was holding their communicators. Yeah. So
he pushed the wrong button.
He was holding their communicators, and so when they tried to beam them in, I guess they were focusing on the communicators, and since they had both of them, but then why didn't they need that for pulling that Christopher out of the plane? Or is it just easier to lock onto people when they have their communicators?
Yeah, I think is that, and if I recall correctly, and I could be wrong, but if I recall correctly, the guy accidentally activated the beaming by pushing the emergency
button.
Did he?
I think he was fiddling around and he pushed the emergency button, and then Lieutenant Kyle was like,
he was clearly
a fiddler. Fuck the emergency button. He just did the auto beam.
See, there needs to be more fail safes. Number one, you shouldn't be able to, like, what if it happens? Well, we find out what happens if some random stranger can beam onto your fucking ship. And, like, you know, it's not that far out to think that somebody might lose their communicator,
right?
And so
you should have a tighter scan on
you should
personnel.
Have like a you should have like a brain chip or something like that, you know,
like,
or something less invasive.
That's definitely, who else was down there? Sulu.
Oh, I like when Spock, I think it was Spock that all complimented Sulu, and Sulu all smiled. Spock goes, your decision to beam up was quite correct, Mr. Sulu. And he's all like,
well, that's good management right there. And it comes up a lot There might even be a podcast, I forget, that focuses on Star Trek.
The Management Podcast?
No, I think it's a Star Trek Management Tips
podcast. Do you think there's a podcast called The Management Podcast?
I expect there probably is.
I doubt it.
It's got management. I like seeing... Well, there's a lot that I like...
Stupid Dixie Flanders!
Hologram.
There's a lot that I like about Star Trek. We all get so many different things out of Star Trek. Good stories, good morals, fun sci-fi, various combinations of those. But another thing that's a running theme in a lot of Star Trek is lessons in leadership, lessons in management, lessons in team dynamics, things like that. And a lot of times it's just a little thing sprinkled in here and there, this was not a necessary line, right? If you're writing a really tight economical episode of TV, you're not necessarily going to include this line, but for characterization purposes, it's wonderful because it gives Spock an opportunity to demonstrate a good leadership quality, which is to recognize somebody for making a decision, both reinforcing that they made the right decision and giving them praise for doing so. That's good. And we get to see, as you note, Sulu be delighted by that. So we know he cares.
Quite logical, Captain.
He cares what Spock thinks. So that also gives us some subtle indicators of the type of leadership style and how respected Spock is, etc. These are tiny little things, but they convey so much. They convey so much to the audience and helps give these stories a nice lived-in feel. I'm getting some Jesse disease over here talking with the marbles in my mouth. A little bit of slurpy.
Did you notice? Well,
you people certainly have interesting problems.
I'm sorry.
The set, like, there was a corridor in the Air Force base that looked just like the Enterprise, except it was like the 60s instead of like the 2260s.
Yeah. For some reason, they hung like some posters and paintings up.
Some reason tonight, I'm having this problem where every time someone says Enterprise, I think of like Lisa needs braces, dental plan.
Why is there that connection?
Because remember that one episode we were doing, like, we said something, Enterprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Except I can't remember the first part of what we said.
Yeah, no.
It's like something, so it's becoming disconnected.
We've talked
something
about
has,
this a few
It was
times.
Like something has phasers, Enterprise, or something like that.
Yeah.
You remember that episode?
Yes,
but vaguely. These things.
I remember this sort of exchange. Yeah. We've done this a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to.
In a time loop. And
I did have.
Jordy's explaining to us that
we've had
this exact conversation multiple times before.
I did have a list.
I forgot to ask you. I forgot. We're still thrown off from missing a week.
There's like three no duties.
All righty, audience. Oh, this is great. This is great. There's at least one list. There's multiple duty or no duties.
Duty.
Are there any that?
Put it on audio.
That's in orders.
No,
that's in orders.
No, that's in orders.
Oh, right.
It was the 60s, man.
They didn't say that shit back then, I guess. No. Oh, also, I wanted to quickly mention, you were talking about like the sort of like attempt at being progressive, but sort of failing in a certain ways with the computer.
With the sexy woman on the ship. Yeah. Like, a woman on the ship.
Well,
like,
a
crewman.
Yeah, that part. Like when at the beginning, when that woman walks by and Christopher's like, a woman on the ship, like, and they play the music they play is all like that.
This guy is getting hard.
Set them on heavy stun force. Set them on heavy stun force. Set them on heavy stun force. Set them on heavy stun force.
I can't do it this one.
Don't touch anything. Don't touch anything.
Get it to the chorus.
What is that? Now that's a simple question. Give me a simple answer. Now that's a simple question. Give me a simple answer. Now that's a simple question. Give me a simple answer. Set them on heavy stun force. 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 Oh.
That's pretty good. I'm digging it.
But so there was the computer saying dear, and then like the sexy music when that other
girl walked by.
Girl walked by, yeah.
And I feel bad even just saying girl.
Yeah.
I note Kirk said called her a crewman, which I kind of took to be like, don't worry, she's not an officer. Because I don't know that that was what it was meant. But as we'll know, Gene Roddenberry in The Cage had Majel Barrett playing an officer. In fact, the first officer.
Number one.
Yeah. And the network didn't like that.
No.
But they still permitted women on the show, of course.
Yeah. We can't take the risk.
Whore is an officer, of course. But sometimes you get the feeling that they still were trying to diminish the role, say, yes, women are participating, but not fully.
Yeah.
Women on the bridge.
Where's my coffee?
They were talking about quartermasters in this episode. They don't talk about yeomen or quartermasters in later Star Trek, just this one. This was like a real sort of like...
Partly, the yeomen bring the coffee. Partly, yeah, because the yeoman role, I think, shifted a little bit to more of an executive assistant type.
They had the yeoman, the bosun's whistle in the beginning of TNG, like the first season.
And they have it in Star Trek 2.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm talking about TNG, though. Like, the TNG, they got rid of it.
I'm talking about TNG. My name's
James. Okay. Actually, I have two lists, but one of them is not that terribly interesting. Like, I...
What is the... Which one is the... which one is the 7-minute, 30-second list?
Okay, well...
versus... Possibly
well,
longer.
Well, so I have a list of like different kinds of music, which honestly is not that interesting. But then there's another list of incidents of incompetence by the crew. And this episode was very, this crew was highly incompetent this episode.
Yeah. The Enterprise crew?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, do you want me to start?
Yeah. I'm excited.
Okay.
Note that this doesn't, there probably is a bit of editorializing here, so...
just stick to the facts.
Jesse and I can't vouch for these necessarily. We will endorse or not endorse
these objective statements.
All right. Give it a go.
You know, it got really trendy for people to say something is objectively good. They're like, this game is objectively good. It's like a way of sort of like emphasizing how good it is, but it's like, it gets overused. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
people generally suck.
Yeah, I don't want to come off as being grumpy about the way people say things, but come on.
But you are.
Yeah, I guess so.
but people need to smarten up.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to, but
that
fuck
makes
it.
Makes me out to be either a liar or a fool.
Okay, number one. Kirk fucks up Christopher's ship with a tractor beam, even though Spock warned him not to do it.
Yeah.
He still did it. He fucked his shit up.
Yeah.
Then, which had to bring him on board in the first place.
Disintegrate.
I don't have a problem. I don't consider that incompetence. I consider that an executive decision where he took the risk, probably knowing that he had the backup plan of beaming him out if necessary.
Potato, potato. Yeah.
Or just sort of like a misunderstanding from like different centuries.
Yeah, but I think
centuries.
There's calculated risks and there's incompetence.
Yeah, but
I don't count
but
this
as incompetence. But he brought him on board. It's the reason he came on board and they almost had to hang on to him forever.
Well,
the option was to not do anything and then he's recorded the Enterprise and he's taking it back to
Spock
base.
Warned him.
It's a whole thing where like, okay, Starfleet has to do what's right. So they have to save this guy, but then like, wait a minute. Like, we can't like change the timeline, so we have to like, that's our mission, is to preserve the timeline, and everything keeps contradicting itself,
which by the way is
but the
sort
whole
of a-
thing is like they're just doing like Starfleet, they're like we're doing what the mission is, like to do what's right.
Yeah,
and we're gonna stick with that.
I still think they fucked it up.
If we're stuck in time, like then we're gonna eventually figure out how to get back to our own time. But like, who knows?
Yeah, but I still think they fucked it all up.
It's important. It's very important to note that this would have been the first time, probably, really, it is the first time Star Trek even considers this idea of preserving a specific timeline, or the idea that traveling in time is dangerous in part because of this.
Right.
Which is fascinating from a sort of philosophical, metaphysical.
Because they don't seem to care in Star Trek 4.
We are jaded to this concept because it's been done so many times. It's so part of just the core of not even just sci-fi storytelling. Sitcom storytelling has discussed this.
Yeah.
All right. Next list item.
Community.
Well, I wasn't specifically referring to that whole timeline being.
No, you were talking about just the tractor beam business.
Yeah, just the tractor beam.
All right.
I guess this next one kind of is part of number one. I should have. So
number one.
Number two. I just go on to say they accidentally have to. Oh yeah, they crushed a ship number one, then which led to number two, where they accidentally have to take him on board, to which they decide that they must sort of like ruin his life in return. We went over that, you know, and I know you all have your opinions on that. We've all stated our opinions on that.
But wait.
Yeah, to me, I'm with Jesse. It seems perfectly reasonable, if unfortunate. It's one of those sad situations where it's like, sorry, dude. Like, we don't want to fuck up our shit, and it was an accident, but it's like, you're either dead.
It's a tough decision.
I still think it's, we shoot you out of the air.
But no, yeah. I understand that, like, they have to do this because for the greater good and all that. I'm just saying it's not a good look. That's all I'm saying. It's not a good look that they had to do that.
I don't disagree that is one of those
absolutely
rough decisions with many complicated moral dimensions.
It's like like in Voyager when those people got all fused together.
Yeah, the Tuvix.
Tuvix.
It's like rain on a wedding, on your wedding day.
It's not like that.
No.
We mentioned the computer, how they weren't able to like keep their mechanics in check, or whoever they hired to do the job, those contractors.
This
is number three. They chumped them over with this computer.
I agree that seems like bad project management on at least Scotty's part of not paying enough attention to the computer.
Now, number four, I understand that some situations seem like really simple, but then when you dig deep into it, it actually turns out it's a whole thing depending on how it was previously made. Like, sure. The foundation it's built on sometimes doesn't allow very detailed changes, very specific changes. You have to change everything. But I think 3 weeks to repair the computer system from being that affectionate, seductive, belligerent computer, 3 weeks is a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Have to fix something like
that. It's a long time for anything.
This is a time period where they have no fucking clue what a computer is.
Right, it's a computer is like a room full of tapes.
Computers exist.
The Apollo program.
And have for a while, but
there were those real computers.
Public consciousness, it's this confusion, and I'm saying this from the perspective of the writers. It's kind of like being half informed.
A big room full
of tapes. To make the devil's own noise if you started.
Indeed. Well, it's similar to what we see in TNG and Deep Space Nine.
What we see in TNG, what you want to be
in the 90s when it's pre-internet. And they've created this future, and then like the internet's invented, and it's confusing because they don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even when they go back in time to 2024, they have consoles, which is where you like subscribe to like digital channels to get your
keyboards,
your digital internet, or your information superhighway information.
So, number five, Spock, as we have established, is super worried about altering the future, but he reveals to Christopher that Christopher's son is going to do some super historic shit.
Yeah, right.
He could have easily just pulled Kirk aside. It seems like shit like that should have been kept from him. You know what I mean?
I agree that.
And like, in fact, later on,
it's
Christopher,
a little weird.
And in fact, it did affect it, because later on, Christopher was like, I need to protect my family, my son. So like, that shit had an effect on him negatively against him. So that was, that was not, no.
I agree.
Not good looks there.
It made him like want to.
Bad looks.
Take care of things right away, and they were like, "Listen, dude, you have to go by our."
And everyone knows. Well, I mean, I understand we're jaded about the whole time travel thing because we've had decades of it. But like, you know, you don't ever want. They were already worried about altering the future. They should know that. Like, well, if you're already worried about it, you shouldn't be telling someone's future for them.
Well, and it goes back to the question I asked earlier, which was from Captain Christopher's perspective. Captain Christopher is the guy with the very narrow set eyes.
I didn't notice that.
His eyes were so close together.
I didn't notice that.
Go if you watch the TV show. His eyes are so fucking close.
He's a fighter pilot.
And they're deeply sunk. He has deeply sunk, very narrowly spaced eyes.
What does he mean by that?
I don't mean anything by it other than what I'm saying. Go back and look. It's clear. Wild.
Don't give me any double talk.
But from his perspective, he's like,
that
why
makes me out to be either a liar or a fool.
Why should I give a fuck about anything about what happens to these people in the future? I don't care if they live or die.
Fuck these people.
I'm just very curious from a moral, like, does he have a moral requirement? Because is it just because he's met these people, he has a moral requirement? Maybe yes, maybe no. I can appreciate him being like, you know what? I'm going to lean towards. I'm gonna get the fuck out of here.
Well, Christopher?
Yeah.
Like being like, yeah, fuck the Enterprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like usually
not just like I'll help them until I can get away, but like, no, I'm just gonna be like.
And that's what I was saying. It's not unusual to get I know what you're thinking when I say it's not unusual. I know what you're thinking.
I'm just fine. I'm good.
To be loved by anyone. I see, this is what you've done. You don't even have to interrupt, because I know what you're going to do.
I didn't do nothing.
I think that's called trauma. You've traumatized me.
No, that's called power!
It's not unusual to see me cry.
Hey, can we take a quick break?
You traumatized me, Patrick.
Right, let's take a quick break, and then we can...
It's not unusual. What was I talking about, even?
We'll have the whole break to determine that, and then you can continue. You can continue when we get back from that break. So, we will be right back!
Right back.
If you don't have to pee, I'll push the button and I'll say we're back.
Push that button back, baby.
All right, we're back.
50 years to go.
Oh, that's a long time.
Now, look, mister, you and I had better start communicating.
That's a long time. Everyone's like, this podcast shouldn't be more than my life. 1 hour long.
I was saying when you were talking about, like, yeah, Christopher has every right to be like, you know, fuck the Enterprise. Like, I want to get back to my shit. And I was saying, like, it's not unusual for there to be a plot presented to us where someone, the protagonist, gets captured by some kind of alien organization. Yeah. And the organization's
like, it's a reverse-y.
Yeah, it's a reverse-y thing because they're like, well, we got to keep you, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, so
they got to.
That role is played by the Enterprise. So, yeah, anyway.
All right. That was, what was that, five? Number five?
Yeah. So there's three more.
Yes.
All right.
Do tell, sir.
Kirk thought, number six, Kirk thought that them crushing the U.S. fighter jet could be mistaken for a weather balloon. There was a part about a weather balloon.
Yeah.
And I will look up the things. I will vamp while I look it up now.
I don't recall.
If I remember my history, these things were dismissed as weather balloons, sun dogs, explainable things.
Sun dogs.
I get the point Kirk was making. He wasn't making the direct comparison between crushing an advanced fighter jet.
Well, Spock followed it up, said, Captain, our tractor beam caught and crushed an Air Force plane. It'll be impossible to explain this as anything other than a genuine UFO.
I agree. Oh. Yeah. So, like, it's all nicely laid out.
But there was still
there.
Wreckage with a recording.
And that one I agree. Most of these I agree. I don't agree with you on the first one that's incompetence, but most of these other things. The first two, I think, were just... appropriate executive decision making.
If I were
Spock as the manager, I would have said, you made the right decision, sir.
Then you're incompetent.
No, I'm not.
No,
in this case, I'm not. But the rest of these, I do think, are examples of incompetence, which, by the way, I know you still have more of the list, but as a counter, not a counterpoint, as a co-point.
As a magic counter, I give you, you have three counters. It gives my artifact creature +4, +4.
As a parallel,
I got these counters, these new counters I bought.
I enjoyed the fact that the Air Force security was not completely incompetent. There was the one guy who was kind of goofy,
the sergeant dude who got
freaked out when he got beamed up, which is a totally reasonable response. Mm-hmm. But most of the other people,
Fellini was badass.
Yeah, Fellini and all that, they knew what the fuck they were doing.
He's like, now listen, mister.
And were even able to handle future people. And ultimately, we're only defeated because the future people had crazy magic technology.
Well, that worries you a little bit, huh?
No, don't worry. Just a little bit. Blah, blah, blah,
blah.
So I like
that. How are those the starters?
I like it when the heroes.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all?
When the heroes.
It's like I had nothing.
Aren't just steamrolling over incompetent morons, especially when they do traveling to the past things. It's an aggravating bugaboo of mine.
Nothing at all.
People in the past were not stupid. They were exceptionally sophisticated people, just as sophisticated as today. So yeah, come on, be nice. So I like these. I like examples of people acting cleverly and intelligently. Yeah, I thought Captain Christopher, the whole episode, was all his decisions and thinking was perfectly defensible and rational.
Yeah, man.
Number seven, I kind of like half take that one back because Spock sort of like. At the first time when Christopher started talking about being really willing to help them, they didn't seem skeptical. Now, later on, Spock was like, the second time around that happened, Spock was like skeptical. He was like, you know, I don't trust you or something. I can't remember what he said, but he was basically saying something to the effect of like, I don't trust you wanting to come down. But the first half, they seemed like perfectly willing to, or actually, what did they say? I can't even remember what they said. Maybe they were, did they say something like,
did they?
He wants to help. He wants to help.
Kirk was more into Captain Christopher helping, I think, than Spock.
He goes, well, I'd like to help. I could sketch a layout of the place for you, show you where the record section in the photo lab is. He goes, no, Captain, thank you. But if anything could go wrong, you might get hurt. See, he's talking about him getting hurt. I mean, I guess you could say it was like Kirk and Spock were doing double talk.
Don't give me any double talk.
And double saying talk. That they were worried about his health, but really they didn't trust him. But that's not what it seemed to put across to him.
No,
the first
I think
meeting.
They were worried about his penis.
Penis.
I'm serious.
Your logic can be most annoying.
Annoying, perhaps, but ironclad, because in this case...
Ironclad.
Yes, let's work backwards from it. Spock mentioned, he said the whole reason this guy has to go back and stay alive is because his son probes Uranus.
He has to have a penis to probe Uranus.
Yeah, so they're worried about his penis and balls.
Oh, that worries you a little bit, huh?
I'm right?
Yeah.
They need his penis to be like... not only
his son hasn't been born yet.
Yeah, so intact, but highly functional.
So they should have just removed his package and put it in a jar and sent it back to Earth and kept him on the
That
ship.
Would not have
That's
worked.
That's the best of both worlds.
That doesn't work.
No, you know what, Dan? I'm not going to discount it as an option. I am going to push back ever so slightly on this idea that is the best of both worlds.
It's literally win-win.
That removing a man's penis and balls...
It's not going to work, friend.
...for the sake of preserving his genetic lineage, I'm going to suggest that may not be in the top 10 of things, let alone...
It's a win-win.
Well, I do not...
Who's the loser in that scenario? Just tell me.
Are you the winner?
I believe Captain Christopher may be the loser.
Ah, poppycock.
Poppycock?
Now that's
poppycock is
an interesting choice of words. Mm-hmm. All right.
One for you, one for me.
All right. There was another list item.
Number seven, number eight, last one. We already mentioned this one too. They try to beam up Sulu and Kirk, but they accidentally beam up the Time Sergeant.
I know, right?
The Time Sergeant.
Yeah, the Time Sergeant.
I don't think that
time
was
monitors.
That was incompetence.
Yes, Space but measurers. Let's place the incompetence in the right place. That was a systems level incompetence.
Yeah,
at
I can
the Starfleet
say, I can,
level.
I can say that. I can.
As opposed
that.
To a personal incompetence, you know, of one of the crew members.
I might, for the first time in my life, agree with that assertion.
With that specific assertion. Have people made that specific assertion or previously?
Maybe during this list. I agree. All of you guys have said stuff that I disagree with during this list.
Oh, yeah?
I agree with this one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like what?
Don't be a fool.
Like what?
Like what?
You take that back.
You take that back. Hey.
Hey,
you.
Hey, asshole.
There was a... Do you see that part when they were on the thing on the in there and they were looking at the numbers with the painted signs like of the different areas? There was a target analysis, the intelligence section. You remember there was a part
where the photography room light lit up,
where the lights went up. It looked really hand painted on. It didn't look like it was stenciled or anything. But there was we see number one. It says target analysis. Then it says intelligence section, statistical service section. Air maintenance, air conditioning maintenance, I'm assuming. Photo section, armament section, personnel, and supply section. And I don't know why personnel and target analysis don't qualify as sections, but everything else does qualify. And air conditioning maintenance doesn't count as a section either.
Nah.
But everything else is the word section. Then there was also
just ops.
Station 2. Station 2 was on 1.
Station!
Station 3 was on 2. Station 1 was on 3. Station 2 was
station
on 4.
Station 2 was on 3.
Lab A was on 5. Lab B was on 6. Lab C was on
are
7.
Are these levels? What's going
these
on
these are
here?
The writings on the wall.
Holy fucking shit.
The fucking writings.
Yeah.
All right, that was a good list. I hear
that wasn't my list. That's just what was listed on,
on
the thing.
No. The whole list was a good list, and then that was number eight. Was the lit? Was that number eight?
No, that was a new thing.
Oh, that was a
new
thing.
The number eight was them accidentally beaming up.
Was
the
that
time.
Your second list that you had previously advertised? You had two lists.
That was my first list. No, that was not my second.
What
list.
About the duty? Because
that
no
wasn't a
duty.
List. That was just writing on the wall.
Yeah, but it does also happen to be a list. Would you call that a list?
Not yes. not one of Dan's lists.
It's a but it's a listing. It's like a listing
but
of the
not,
rooms.
It's not. It doesn't qualify to be. Okay. It's not something that you would announce at the beginning of an episode.
Listen, fool, you just listed a bunch of shit.
Yeah, but it's not my list.
It's your list.
No, it's the writing on the wall.
Oh,
the writing's on the wall.
But you have compiled this list.
I didn't compile. Well, I guess technically I compiled it, collated it, or whatever. I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't think you compiled it.
Yeah.
You just copied it down.
I just copied it down.
You
yeah.
just simply copied it.
You recorded the list.
You saw the writing on
I was,
the wall.
I scrobe it. I'm a scribe and I scrobe
you
it.
You scribed it.
You scrobe the past tense.
Inscribed.
The number eight was them beaming that dude, Time Sergeant, up. Yeah. The other list was just the different types of music. There was a lot of different types of music in this episode.
Dude, would you like to break it up by, instead of going to your next list, instead do a duty or no duty?
No yeah. duty.
Yeah.
All right, so for new audience members, Dan
Chief
will-
O'Brien?
Occasionally, he'll notice that in an episode of Star
Hologram.
Trek, somebody will use the word duty, D-U-T-Y.
But that's not what it sounds like!
But Dan will at least argue, in some cases, that it sounds like they're not saying duty, but rather duty.
I'm not joking, Lee!
Which is,
I'm not.
In some circles, is considered funny, because it's associated with poop.
In our circles.
Yeah.
But apparently
we are one of those
circles. But not every country knows that, or country or continent. Yes, that's not right. Every country or continent knows that what duty is to me.
Our friend in Australia was like, wait a minute.
We have an extensive international audience, and occasionally people will write in or send a recorded message indicating that they are confused by a particular colloquialism.
I think that happened.
Might
once.
Be an American colloquialism, might be an East Coast, mid-Atlantic type colloquialism. Perhaps.
I think that only happened once.
Mostly American.
Yes, but once counts as sometimes.
Sometime.
At some time.
At some time this happened.
At some point in the time.
Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Anyway, duty or no duty.
Yeah.
Usually what happens, just to give you a preview, because
these guys fucking are trying to, you guys are trying to pull one over on me when you play
usually
this game.
Dan will play
they
the
like
clip.
To press my buttons.
Dan will play the clip. Both Jesse and I will agree that the person says duty, and Dan says no.
It made me sound like Rom.
No. Moogie.
No, you guys just try to press my buttons.
All right, well, anyway, let's just do it. Let's just do it. Let's hear some duties or no duties. You said you got three?
Yeah.
All right.
It's my duty to report. Now the experts can figure out who you are, what you are. It's my duty to report what I've seen.
Duty.
Well, I named the short one full and I named the full one short. Okay, here's the full one, which is labeled short.
Now the experts can figure out who you are, what you are. It's my duty to report what I've seen. It's my duty to report. It's my duty to report. It's my duty to report.
That's, I gotta say, Dan, you know, you're lucky this week.
Oh, am I lucky?
That's a duty.
That's a duty.
That's a total duty.
That's a gross, stinky duty.
That's a 100% duty.
Big, nasty duty. Yes.
That's the kind of thing you do not want to step in.
Flush it down.
No.
It's my duty to report.
Yeah, you want to flush that down.
If you're going to get nasty, I'm going to leave.
Okay, number two.
Nasty.
Maybe I labeled these correctly.
We're going to have to go back and get those reports and photos. If the captain feels duty-bound to report what he saw, there won't be any evidence to back him up. The captain feels duty-bound to report what he saw. Duty boundary.
That's a no duty.
Yeah.
I think he says duty bound.
Kirk has a very crisp pronunciation.
Quite crisp.
Not that crisp.
Kirk.
It's not as crisp as like crisp Cisco.
Kirk.
Cisco would say like duty.
Correct.
Yeah. But, Cisco is fucking rad.
Kirk is still pretty crisp, and I'm going to go with no duty.
Well, let me see.
Duty boundary. The captain feels duty bound to report what he saw.
No, that's a duty all the way.
No,
it's literally.
Nah,
we're going to have to.
Literally, I think you're crazy.
Disagree.
No, I think you guys are crazy.
No, I'm looking at you. You appear to be 100% sincere.
I am sincere.
Which makes me think you're crazy.
It's duty. He's saying duty.
He's saying duty.
Duty boundary.
Duty.
Duty boundary.
He has a
duty.
Crisp Canadian pronunciation.
The captain feels duty bound to report what he saw.
I don't know what you guys are.
Do you have a large beetle living in one of your ears? Do you have a beetle that's
a
just beetle. Crawling,
you
crawling
guys are,
around?
You guys are fucking crazy, or you're trying to push my buttons and you're trying to do that thing where you're acting all like, you know, surprised, like, oh, I can't believe it, to try to up your lie game. Try to act all like, I just can't believe it.
All right, why'd you,
never heard of this
hit
before.
Hit us with that third one.
Don't be a fool.
Hit us with that third one, buddy.
So far I say duty for both. They say duty one, duty two. Notice it's always me versus they.
Yay.
Okay, here's duty three.
I told you it's my duty to report everything I've seen. That's explanation enough.
Oh, wait a second.
Yeah,
That was number one. Oh, I totally fucked up how I labeled these. That was number one.
Yeah, but it's not now.
It's not now, so forget I played that first one. I'm going to play the...
Can we just tell the audience it's number three? Or is it going to make it uncomfortable for you?
Now the experts can figure out who you are, what you are. I told you it's my duty to report what I've seen. That's explanation enough. It's my duty to report...
Yeah, so sorry, that third one was part of the first two. Okay, I'm going to play the real number three.
Oh my God.
It's my duty to report. It's my duty to report.
I feel like there was a longer one version of that.
It's my duty to report.
No.
It's my duty to report. Duty to report.
I'm surprised I didn't record more
duty.
Of that.
Duty.
It's a no duty.
Duty.
It's my duty to report.
The third one?
No
yeah,
duty.
Yeah, the third one.
No duty.
No
duty.
Duty
to report.
Duty.
That's a crisp duty.
Duty.
It's my duty to report.
It's my duty to report.
Duty. Yeah, you just said duty.
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 Duty to
report.
Duty to
report. Duty.
It's my duty to report.
There's not a
it's
beetle
my
here.
Duty.
What's happened? Do you have an?
It's my duty to report.
You have a strange algorithm in your head. I think this is one of those things where we learn you It's not synesthesia, but you have some
no,
sort of...
No, stop putting this on me.
He's
like,
not hearing
See, this is why you can do that, because you outnumber me, so you guys can both be like, yeah, Dan, you're fucking crazy.
Okay.
Just fucking gaslight my ass.
I'm not saying... Maybe... Look, I don't like using the term crazy. We're not psychologists. It could just be that you have brain damage.
Oh, fucking gaslighting
me. I didn't
me.
Say that.
You might have some terrible brain damage.
Stop. Like, you guys... Seriously, like, you guys can do that when you outnumber me. You can, like, try to make me think I'm crazy and shit. It's not... But I'm not buying it, because you guys... are either crazy or you're fucking with me.
I'm not fucking with you. I can assure you you're not fucking with me. In those last two...
Wait.
Those last two, I hear duty.
Wait.
It's my duty to report.
That's duty.
Duty. The first one was duty.
There was nothing like duty.
The first one was duty
it
all
It was
the
nothing
way.
Like duty.
It was duty.
Duty.
You're
duty.
Fucked up. You're a fucked up piece
duty.
Of shit.
Duty. Duty or no duty. All right.
That is the question.
That was a good one. All right. I think we are now... suitably prepared.
You seem to think this is some kind of a game.
We're seeing it. I believe it is. I believe that is how it is structured. You've presented it to us as a game.
Come on.
A game that we always win.
The answer to that is no.
The list.
I love the little Atari sounds that there's always in the sick bay and Bones. There's that machine that goes like boom, 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 boom. Boom. Sounds it's like asteroids or something.
Next list. Final list.
Okay, I mean, we don't have to do this one. It's just music list.
I want to hear the music list.
Okay, I'm not actually playing any music. Although I did have one music sound that I could play.
But is it related
one
to the
music
list?
Sound?
I don't remember.
Is,
I don't
is
know.
Your list a list of music cues, but then you don't have any of them recorded? But
he
you
calls
have,
them
but
music
you have one
sound.
Of them recorded?
I'm just describing. I don't even know if the one I recorded, I don't even know if it has anything to do with the list. It does. It's number 8. It's the last one on the list.
Oh, all right. Well, there we go. Something to look forward, folks. In the meantime, just get ready for Dan to describe some music to you.
Right. Number 1 was there's the sexy music when the woman comes onto the screen and they it's like, oh, it's a woman.
The woman.
On the ship. There's silly music when Christopher stares at Spock's ears. There's lighthearted music. Music when Christopher is like, my son, I don't have a son, which implies that he will have a son. Yeah. You know, it gets all frolicky when he realizes it.
He's gonna get it
when he realizes what they mean. It gets all frolicky. On number 4, there's silly music when Bones is like, shouldn't you be working on your time warp calculations? And Spock's like, I am. You know,
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
joke.
I know it was super silly, but yeah,
it was both silly and kind of fucked up. Like Spock's expression was like, fuck you, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was to deal with your stupid Spock. Shit.
I know Spock needs to. I know he's a Vulcan and everything, but Bones needs to put his place more.
Yeah, he gets aggravated every now and then.
There's number 5 is there's like whimsical uh-oh music as the sergeant is accidentally beamed up.
Yeah.
Both Spock and the sergeant are confused and they're like uh-oh. There's number 6 there's some sneaky sneak out music as Kirk and Sulu are trying to leave after stealing the reel-to-reel computer data.
Yeah, it's like they're the Grinch sneaking through somebody's like house stealing all their presents.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the when Fellini goes,
I am going to lock you up for 200 years.
And it starts playing silly music, and then that's when Kirk's like, that ought to be just about right.
You know? Which is another joke I thought was really funny.
It was a funny joke. It did feel, I thought it was funny too, but it felt a little forced after the fact because it's like who says I'm going to lock you up for 200 years?
It was an insane thing for Fellini to say.
Yeah.
But it was funny. Especially because Kirk gave the sort of resigned, like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? Look.
Mm-hmm. Here's number 8. I think
Woodwind.
Chicken soup.
Wasn't that the replicator part? I can't even remember where that was.
I don't recall, but I did enjoy that music, especially because it's almost like they're transposing some sort of, I don't know, like medieval prancing about music, but with strange instruments. I know the instruments aren't that strange, but the
way they did it,
they're going for is very futuristic and strange.
I thought it was really cool how they kept it dissonant, but they kind of made a melody out of the dissonance.
Yeah, it was good.
But that's the part
it's kind of like that beat you were playing before.
Oh, what, this one?
That discord
set them on heavy stun force. Set them on heavy stun force. Yeah. Set them on heavy stun force.
Don't touch anything. Don't touch anything. Don't touch anything. Don't touch anything. Don't touch anything.
That was after he goes, We're talking
maybe some chicken soup.
That's then they play that music. Chicken soup. And then the sergeant's like, it
what
is.
What the fuck is wrong with that guy?
I don't know, man. But yeah, that's the music they played for like the fucking replicator food, which is a weird place to play it. But anyways, so that was the list of interesting music. They had a lot of interesting, cool music, I thought, in this episode.
Yeah.
But I had fun with
it. Well, I thought the production of this episode in general was really top notch.
Production.
Fun acting. I know, yeah, they're going back to the 60s, so isn't
they're
that
convenient? They're going back in time.
But it really worked very well. The lighting in the Air Force Base in particular, I thought was really wonderful. All the shadows and I don't know. It was fun. There was a great fight scene.
Oh, I almost forgot. That was probably one of the best Star Trek, at least TOS, maybe one of the top five fight
just
scenes in all of Star Trek.
At one point, Kirk just throws himself, like hurls himself across the thing, smashes into the people.
It's the only time where they've used that double fist punch and it actually looked effective. Because like it was a combination with how he was charging the dude and how the camera was all, it was the hand camera was all shaking around. Like that punch always looks weak as fuck. And I know by principle, it's a weak punch.
Because you break all your fingers.
Yeah, and you're taking all your strength away from a punch, which is like your torso
and your bones.
And your hips and shit like that. But the way they filmed it, it made it look like it was actually legit. And I even liked the part where he did that silly, like he hung onto the thing and lifted his legs
door
up.
Jam.
Yeah, and then he like jumped over the dude. It was cool.
And even the strategy behind the fight where the initial moves he made were designed purposefully, the impression I got, to make a lot of noise to signal to Sulu to get out of Dodge.
Get out of Dodge.
Because... Kirk looks around and he's like, oh, fuck, these people are coming in. And then he just like fucking starts going like fucking wailing on these people and knocking shit over. Then they cut to Sulu hearing the stuff falling over and the muffled through the door. And then he's like, oh, shit. And then he pushes the little emergency button on his communicator.
Emergency.
So I appreciated that not only was it a well-choreographed, fun fight, but it also strategically made sense the way Kirk was deciding to make a lot of noise.
Make a lot of noise.
Make a lot of noise.
When they beam down, I don't know why, and this is very uninteresting, I don't know why I noticed it, but for some reason, I noticed that water fountain right there. When they beam down, there was just an old-school looking water fountain, and that just made me think of water fountains.
Do you like to put your mouth like all up on the water fountain?
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Suck on it.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's how it goes.
No, how many water fountains are there anymore? Do people just not go
outside?
They're
all over the place.
Are they? I think
they still have them, and you can also fill your water.
Yeah, the new water fountains are awesome. They're future water fountains where
they shoot water down at you, right? Like you put it under and it spits that water like out of spigot or something. Not a spigot, like a soda fountain spray thing.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't describe it as they shoot water down at you.
But it's like a little, it's a hard stream.
You stick your cup in there and it fills it.
It's a hard stream.
Okay.
Yes. But I'm saying like they don't have those old school ones where you press the button and it goes in the two.
No, they still have the old school.
They still have them around. Sometimes they're combined.
They're combined. I feel like there are fewer of them. I'm sorry. There's less. Yeah. There's less Maybe. Numbers.
No,
of
fuck
them.
You, Dan.
There's less numbers.
I don't
think
doing that on purpose,
right.
Folks. He's not stupid. Don't worry.
There's
he
less.
Just hasn't been to a school.
There's less numbers.
There's fewer.
No, that's not how you say it.
Yeah, Dan.
When Kirk was like, we're going to have to go back and report the photos, if the captain feels duty-bound to report what he saw, there won't be any evidence to support him.
Evidence.
Christopher goes, that makes me out
evidence!
To...
Evidence!
Chief O'Brien.
Christopher goes, that makes me out to be either a liar or a fool. And then Kirk says, perhaps. And then Spock says, not at all. You'll simply be one of the thousands who thought he saw a UFO.
Right.
I mean, yeah, people don't really take those people seriously.
Yeah, and sometimes their lives are ruined.
Yeah, exactly. So it does make them out to be either a liar or a fool, even
especially
if it's
not. When you actually did see something because it actually happened to you, and it's not that you are suffering from sort of psychotic break.
It was actually the Enterprise.
Yeah, Spock's reasoning was like kind of an interesting perspective on logic. It's like, you'll be one of the thousands of people who everyone thinks.
Yeah, he's not wrong. It's just sort of fucked
up.
Yeah,
right.
it's not equivalent. Spock was saying your life will be equivalent whether you're seen as a crackpot or not, which of course is not the case.
They're doing a lot of trapezius neck chops to knock people out, I noticed. They just chop them on the trapezius and they knock them out.
Well, it's the same thing as the origin of the Vulcan neck pinch is, it's well known that around the 1960s, late 50s, early mid-1960s, the latest science suggested that the way you control human beings, you can turn them on and off by whacking them on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Some sort of shoulder interaction is what you need. You see it on Columbo. You see it in Star Trek.
Columbo.
You see it on My Three Sons. You see it on Donna Reed. We've seen it on Dennis the Menace.
Kojak.
See it on Andy Griffith's show.
Andy Griffith.
You don't see no vocal.
You see it on Green Acres.
Dennis the Menace.
See it on Car 54.
Dennis the Menace just died.
Leave It to Beaver.
They said there's only 12 ships.
Father knows best.
Oh, no.
They said there's only 12 ships like theirs in the yeah. Starfleet. 12 ships like what, the Enterprise or starships like
the Constitution class? It's mentioned a couple times there are 12 Constitution
class. Is that still the case in Star Trek as it goes on to different iterations?
They get more ships.
Yeah, and also the thing
because
is
in Discovery or Picard, I can't remember which one, there was like the big fight where there's a billion ships.
Oh, that was Picard, where everyone got, I think, rightfully pissed off that Starfleet showed up to a fight with like 300 of the exact same ship.
Yeah, right.
And the producers were all like, no, it makes sense from a technology standpoint. It's like, this is a fucking TV show, man. You just didn't want to spend money on it.
Right.
Fucking Deep Space Nine had hundreds of different ships. It was amazing. The best battles in the world on fucking in 1990s technology.
Yeah.
You made me digress.
I do that.
I know.
Does that make you jealous that I have the ability to do that?
No, it's delicious. I love it.
It's delicious.
Delicious.
Do you think that's choice?
It's. I would never say that. I never did say that. I will never say that.
Damn, dude.
I like when Spock was like he counted three times in this episode. There was the one I played earlier. Then there was this one.
10 minutes. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He likes
this
shit. And guys.
And then there was this one.
40, 30.
And then that's when Kirk was like, okay, we get it, Spock. Like, it was almost like they were joking on themselves.
He always likes the countdown. And then somebody is always like, okay, that's enough.
Never mind, Mr. Spock.
Never mind.
It's almost like the writers were like, were joning on themselves.
Well, this is a fun episode. It's not a mind-bending episode. It's not like presenting some amazing moral quandaries. There's some interesting ideas here, but it's not a heavy episode. You know, there's so many others, including especially in Star Trek's first season.
Which, even for time travel, it's kind of heavy.
Like the City on the Edge of Forever or something like that. But that doesn't take anything away from this episode. It's very well
sabotage.
It's a fun, interesting story. The original Star Trek time travel story. It serves as a sort of a quasi basis for Star Trek IV.
Absolutely.
At least to provide a justification for how they can
slingshot.
Easily just decide to fly back in time to go get some whales.
Do I sabotage something?
But I like this
sabotage.
Episode. I think Dan and Jesse, they seem to enjoy this episode pretty well.
Sabotage.
Yeah, man.
Any final points, guys?
Sabotage.
Tomorrow is yesterday.
Anything else on
tomorrow
your mind?
Tomorrow is tomorrow.
That jet that dude was flying was like a jet that the U.S. Air Force used like for a brief period of time, but like other countries used it for much longer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like European countries.
European? I'm a pian too.
Uranus.
I've always been a pian, baby.
Neptune.
Neptune that piano.
All right.
You can tune a piano though, but can you tune a fish?
So here's the point in the.
Hey Jesse, you can't elope. What will your honey do?
Here's the point in the episode where Dan.
How do you clean a tuba?
Dan will claim he has concluded all his points
with a tube of toothpaste,
and then I'll start talking about like the emails and websites and social media and stuff, and then Dan will be like,
over my dead body.
Another list of 30 things. So I understand that's going to happen. So we're just going to push forward with it.
He's doing it again. He's doing it again. He's like, audience, just put up with this guy while I try to rein it in and make this podcast listenable.
No. I'm just explaining.
Believe me, Colonel.
What I believe is
you wouldn't believe me.
What I believe is going to happen. Next week,
it was an accident.
We're very excited to discuss Star Trek Voyager's favorite son.
Nah, not the fortunate son.
Yes, not to be confused with Enterprise's fortunate son,
which Patrick got on my case about.
Well, no, and this is all on me. Dan's 100% correct here because I was confused. I thought that he was saying fortunate son. And I kept saying, I'm telling you, we got to do a Voyager episode. And he said, yes, favorite son. And I'm like, no, that's Enterprise.
Yeah.
Because I was confused.
This could be an historic occasion.
Because
this guy was confused.
We have the algorithm has brought up a fortunate son for Enterprise before, but that was when we were not doing an Enterprise episode. Anyway, Dan's algorithm has selected favorite son from Voyager. It's a Harry Kim episode.
Harry.
Love Harry Kim.
I love Harry Kim as well. I wonder, will he take his clarinet out at some point?
I hope so. And I sure hope so.
It might be a euphemism.
Or something. I can't remember what tune he played.
So next week, Voyager's favorite son. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to feedback@discussstartrek.com. Mozart. That's Mozart, right?
I couldn't tell you.
I think so.
I believe it's Mozart. Okay, so feedback@discussstartrek.com, which by process of
prostate and fecal elimination.
Gross. You can
by prostate
out,
and fecal elimination.
You can probably guess that our website is www.itsgotstartrek.com.
How did you do it?
Now, as we mentioned, last week's episode was a bundle of free Patreon stuff. If you
what does
go,
he mean by that?
If you want to go, first go listen to that, and then if you want to go hear more of our Patreon stuff, get some free previews, or sign up for $3 a month, go to patreon.com.
$3 a month.
/ It's Got Star Trek.
No choice, Mr. Scott.
Go enjoy some of that stuff over there. Otherwise, on social media, at It's Got Star Trek, everywhere.
That's right.
Blue Sky, Mastodon, Ooh. Threads, all that fun stuff. Find us on YouTube. Subscribe to us there. That would be helpful. Facebook. All those places you can find us. So, without further ado, I will bid you. No, wait. Without further ado, I will bid you adieu. That's
no
it. I gotta do it.
Duty.
I gotta do it that way because otherwise it sounds stupid. Because it sounds stupid to say the same word twice. So
no.
Without further ado, I bid you adieu.
The Enterprise is home. Kirk out.
Kirk out.
I'm a fucking Kirk out.
All right, Kirk. Maybe this will make you laugh. Sabotage, espionage, unauthorized entry, burglary. How are those for starters? And I can think up lots more if you don't start talking.
All right, Colonel. The truth is, I'm a little green man from Alpha Centauri, a beautiful place. You ought to see it.
I am going to lock you up for 200 years.
That ought to be just about right.